Are you looking to grow? Are you looking to be able to understand what real discipleship is? Or do you have a church or a body of believers that are looking for something to help you get past just the normal Bible study to actually be able to apply the Word of God? Well, we have a book for you. It's called Embracing the Truth. Go to tswrightspeaks.com. Message me and get your copy today. Again, tswrightspeaks.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and have a blessed day. Welcome, everyone, and we are so glad you could join us today. Now that we are entering 2026, and we are starting a new message series. And this series is actually going to be on the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. And right now, we are getting ready to take off with this message series, where we are hoping that not only will it be something that brings knowledge to you, but also will inspire you to get out and share the gospel and be active in your faith. So, without further ado, let's begin. Today's lesson is going to come from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And we're really talking about the seven churches of Revelation. And the first thing we need to do is to understand that these messages were given to John by Jesus. This is Jesus speaking directly to John. And this is then recorded and put together as a collection, which would eventually be called the book of Revelation. And so in chapter 2, we start in Ephesus. And verses 1 through 7 really gives us a setting of a picture of a church that has got a lot of great things going for it, but then also has something that they're missing. And Jesus is going to speak to that in this message. So without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump right into the verses. Verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your labor, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate those who are evil, and you have tested and exposed as liars those who falsely claim to be apostles. Without growing weary, you have persevered and endured many things for the sake of my name. But I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. Therefore, keep in mind how far you have fallen. Repent and perform the deeds you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this to your credit. You hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant the right to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. So there is a lot going on in these seven verses. So let's break this down. First of all, there's an angel that is assigned over this church in Ephesus. Now, many have alluded and have given their own spin to this, that not only is Jesus speaking to this specific church, but that is also the definition of a church age that is indicative of the first church age. We will speak to that later, but for now, let's focus on just breaking down these verses. So we have an angel that is assigned to a church, and this angel is being written to, all right? And these are words coming from Jesus. And it says, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Well, let's think about this. This is an actual declaration of Jesus. All right. I mean, think about it. Is there anyone else qualified to do this? To hold seven stars in his right hand? To walk among the seven golden lampstands? Let's think about that. Well, what does that represent? First of all, the lampstands, what do they represent? I mean, really, what do they represent? Well, here's the thing. This is the mystery. If you dial it back to the first chapter, start with verse 19. I'm going to go ahead and read. Therefore, write down the things you have seen, the things that are, and the things that will happen after this. This is the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So the angels are the stars, and the lampstands are the seven churches. So think of it this way. If you have a lampstand, that lampstand has seven stands on it. Each one represents a church. And if we look at it as the seven ages of the church, then it represents an age, all right? An age of the church. Now, in this case, we're just going to break down the church itself. But Jesus is making the declaration that he is the only one that can do this, that he can hold all of this. That's how powerful Jesus is. So this is that declaration that we need to always pay attention to. And there's many of them throughout the book of Revelation. Jesus is referred to in many ways, and they are all powerful symbols of what he is and who God has assigned him to be. All right. So just as he was there before the beginning and in the beginning, guess what? He is also the one holding the seven stars and the seven churches in his hand, and he's walking among them all the time. It means he is present. All right. So now let's dive in. Verse 2, I know your deed, your labor, and your perseverance. So Jesus is acknowledging that he is seeing everything that they're doing in this church. He understands it. He knows it. He knows every piece of it. He knows how hard they work. He knows that their deeds are good. And he knows that they're persevering for his namesake, which he'll allude to here in just a minute. I know that you cannot tolerate those who are evil. And you have tested and exposed as liars those who falsely claim to be apostles. So obviously there's other people claiming to be apostles, having the truth, because what apostle really is a messenger, all right? They're messengers. That's what they are. And they're falsely claiming to have the message of Christ. And these guys are standing up against them. This church in Ephesus is standing up against them, saying this is not the correct message, and basically calling these people heretics. All right, for what they're doing. You know, one of the most dangerous things that can happen is that we start eluding and trying to change and trying to morph the message of the gospel. And we start trying to morph everything that Jesus does, all right, and who he is. And we try to change that to fit culture and to fit our own agenda. We can't do that. We don't get to do that. And that's going on. And during this time period, if we go back to the first age of the church, there was a lot of this. People taking false messages, making false claims. And so Paul had to deal with this a lot. But it wasn't just Paul. It was the other disciples of Jesus that had to deal with this too, and the people following them. So these churches are already running up against false teaching. False teaching is not something that's new. It's been going on for quite a while. And they're having to deal with this. And now we got people even claiming to be apostles that are not apostles. And they have a false message. So these guys are standing up against it. Without growing weary, you have persevered and endured many things for the sake of my name. So think about it. When they call out people, how do you think they're going to respond? Do you think they're going to respond by just being quiet and going away and correcting themselves? No. They're going to double down and they're going to become vicious, mean. They're going to go after them. So the people that are living and giving the right message and living the way that they should are being persecuted, basically, in many ways, because they are claiming the truth and they are standing on the truth, and they're calling out people who are claiming the truth that are not being truthful. All right. They're not living to the gospel. They're not giving the real message of Christ. They're changing it for their own good, for their own means. And so what's happening is these guys are being persecuted. They are being lied about. They're not being treated well. So we have to understand that. All right. And Jesus is acknowledging that he understands all of this, and he basically sees their pain, and he sees the issues that they're going through. And he's also seeing that they are persevering and enduring and not changing, even though everything's coming against them. They are standing on the name of Jesus and on the truth of his message and who he really is and what the message of the gospel truly is. However, he has to go into verse 4, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love. Therefore, keep in mind how far you have fallen. Repent and perform the deeds you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Abandon your first love. Who's our first love? Who truly is our first love? It's Jesus, isn't it? It's Jesus, and it's putting our faith in him, but it's also always coming to him in spirit and in truth and worshiping him. So obviously something's happened here where this church, and this can happen, they're getting so wrapped up in going against everything that's coming against the true message of the gospel and the truth about Jesus and who he really is, and these false apostles, false messengers, false messages are spreading and they're infiltrating areas. What's truly happening here is that they're so focused on that they're forgetting who they need to be going to. You still, you know, think about it in our own faith. We can get so caught up in our causes and our daily life and doing the work of Jesus that we forget that we need to spend time with Jesus, that we need to be in his word, that we need to be praying, and that we still need to be coming before him and worshiping him and taking time to be just with him, because he is our first love and he's supposed to be our first love. And remember, we get strengthened by him. We also, our focus and our energy comes from him, but also he just wants to spend time with us. Let's not abandon our first love. And Jesus is giving that message right here, not only to this church, but it's a message for us as well. All of us who read this can use this. And remember, don't let the work of doing things for Jesus and ministry and doing good work in your, you know, in your careers and all those things and doing it right, and you're so focused on doing it right and being right that you forget everything comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we have to be spending time with Jesus. We got to spend time with him, and he wants us to. So Jesus then kind of warns them. He says, first of all, you need to acknowledge and own the fact that you've fallen, and look how far you've fallen. You got to look at this. And also, what do you need to naturally do from there? Once you have corrected this, then you need to repent. Once you realize this, you need to repent. That means you need to turn away from it, get back to worshiping Jesus the way he is supposed to be worshiped, and do those pieces too, because by doing that correctly, you're also demonstrating to other people, believers, and even those who are doing things falsely, how it's supposed to be done. We have to demonstrate it by how we come and worship Jesus, by how we spend time with him, by how we go to him and pray to him and spend that quality time with Jesus. So we have to demonstrate that. We got to be examples of it. And that also helps others who are going the wrong way see that. And then that way they will follow that as well. They see that that is the best way. And so this church has abandoned that. They've gotten away from it. And Jesus is calling them out and telling them to repent. And then he warns them what happens if they don't repent. If they don't, he's going to remove their lampstand from its place. That means it's going to end. poof, it's going to be gone. He's going to put out that light. The candle will be there, but it won't be lit anymore. Because think about about the lampstand, and when they're all lit, what it was is they would take these golden lampstands, they would put them in the holy place of the temple, and that was the only light that the priest would have as they were preparing for the Day of Atonement. When they were in there, there wasn't any other light. Everything was closed off. It was the seven golden lampstands, and it represented God being their light. And those seven golden lampstands represents a lot of things. It obviously represents the churches, but it also represent the 7 days of creation. And 7 is a number of perfection with God. It's like God has these 7 spirits, and these 7 spirits make everything complete. All right. As a matter of fact, there's interesting phrasing of describing, making a declaration of Jesus to him who is, who was, and is to come from the 7 spirits before his throne. All right. There are 7 spirits of God. Guess what? 7 golden lampstands. All of these, this represents all of those things. Remember that. And so if Jesus snuffs the light on that particular church's candle, that means it's over. It's gone. And he's taking it away from them. He's taking that message of salvation away from them. He's going to give it to somebody else. Remember that statement. Remember, think of it. Think of every piece of the ages of the churches as all about being the people who have the power of spreading the message of the gospel, who are the central part of that. All right. That is a great way and kind of the big concept of understanding the 7 ages of the church, which we'll get deeper into later. However, for now, the 7 golden lampstand is a big deal. And Jesus is represented as walking through it every time, because guess what? He's the one that fulfilled all of the law and basically became the atonement in the sacrifice that forgives us of our sins. Instead of it being the blood spilt up on the ark, all right, in the most holy place by the chief priest, Jesus becomes the chief priest, all right, and then he sacrifices himself, and it's his blood that cleanses us once and for all. We don't have to go through the Day of Atonement every year to be forgiven. Now it's done automatically through Jesus. All right. And he has the power to walk through that most holy place amongst those 7 golden lampstands. He also has the power to direct them. He also has the power to remove them. It's Jesus that has this power. So kind of take that all in for a minute. All right. But you have this to your credit. You hate the work of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So obviously the Nicolaitans, they're a group that is not living correctly. Now, through research and looking into the Nicolaitans, they were, think about this, they were mixing Christianity with basically pagan ways of doing things. All right, and I'm going to leave it at that. It was not pretty. Do we see that today where we try to have a pseudo-Christianity with the pseudo-self-help with, okay, still living for myself and try to mix that all into the one central core belief? Well, guess what? That is what happens. And the Nicolaitans are an example of that. So yeah, this is still going on today, this type of thing. They may not be called the Nicolaitans, but that is basically what they were doing. Jesus hates this, and he's telling us this right here. He hates it, and he is glad that they do as well, that they don't practice this way, they don't do things this way, and they speak out against it. And then let's finish with verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Wow. Okay. That is amazing. Here's why. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That means the ears of your heart are hearing what the Spirit is saying to these churches and adhering to it. It's a warning and it's a command that we are supposed to. We're supposed to listen to what they have to say. All right. And what he is saying right here, all these messages of the 7 churches, we should be diving into those messages and pulling out and learning from them. because they really are kind of a microcosm of today. All of them. We see all of these things, all the messages of the seven churches. We see all the very things that Jesus talks about here going on. We do. And as we get into getting into the other ages of the church and the other six churches, we're going to learn that as we go. Now, to the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to eat from the tree of life of the paradise of God. That means you overcome, you do this the way you're supposed to, and you don't abandon your first love. You are always focused on Christ, and you are living, not only living for him, but you're spending time with him and connecting with him the way he wants to connect to you. Guess what? You get and you stay with that, and you overcome all the things coming against you, and you never abandon it. You stay faithful to the end until the very end of your life. You will get the right to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God, the very tree that Adam and Eve was taken away from. They were taken out of the garden because they were in a sinful state, and they did not need to become eternal beings in the fleshly sense, or that wasn't going to end well, because then they would have been condemned just like Satan and the demons are condemned. God was actually saving them. He got them out of there before they could eat from the tree of life. They'd already shown their disobedience, and he knew that they could potentially go ahead and eat from that tree in the fallen state that they were in. They had to be saved first. Well, here we can eat from the tree of life because guess what? Now we've been saved. Now we can eat from that tree and become eternal because we're in the right state with Jesus. Okay. We are connected to him. We're saved. He has covered us with his blood. Our sin is forgiven and removed. Now we can eat from the tree of life and become eternal beings. And we can live in the paradise of God. See, and we get to be with him forever. Think about that. We get to be with him forever. Wow. So we get to eat from the very tree of life that Adam and Eve could not eat from because they were not in a right state. They weren't. Now we get to do that because we are put into a right state because of Jesus. One thing I want to finish with, back to this, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I think this is an important thing. That message is going to be given about each and every church age. We've also hear that same type of phrasing in some other places. All right, he who has an ear, let him hear what is being said, or he has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Okay, we can go to Matthew chapter 13. We hear that. There's other places that it is, but what this is, anytime you hear that, that is a warning. That means you need to pay attention. It would be like being in a classroom and the teacher is teaching, and then they come over here and said, listen, to understand all of this, you need to hear exactly what I'm saying right now, and that I'm writing on this board right now, because this is going to help you get it all. This is going to make the concept all come together. And this part, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to be on the test. This is what's going to be the test right here. Think of it that way. Think of Jesus. He's doing all this talking. He knows you're not going to perfectly remember everything, even though he's got his Holy Spirit in there. Our brains sometimes can't keep everything right there every moment. He's saying, you need to hear this. You need to pay attention to this. All right. So always, 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 when you hear that phrasing, pay attention, because the message that is coming from Jesus, when he says that, whatever he says right after, it is vital. It isn't just important. It is vital. All his words are important. All right. Just like we get in Matthew chapter 24. All right, verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. That means his words are more important than life itself. All right, and they are life for us. Here's the thing. Anytime you hear that, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, you know you better pay attention to that. So just as a quick wrap up, let's make sure that we have a full understanding of this church in Ephesus. This church is, for the most part, doing everything that they're supposed to do. But They're not connecting to Jesus the way they're supposed to. All right. They've abandoned that. What they've done is they've become probably a little works oriented, more focused on their causes and just doing things right versus being connected in him and letting his spirit direct them, as well as just spending time with him to connect. All right. One of the things, and remember this, one of the things Jesus loved to do was to spend time with his disciples. Sometimes he just likes spending time with these guys and not, and maybe teaching some, but just him being there and them being in his presence. He did. They just enjoyed that part of it. He enjoyed that part of it. And so he wants to enjoy that with you too. Remember that. And that's what they, obviously something had happened where that wasn't happening here. And he warns them. He tells them they can change, they can repent and not lose their place. But if they just continue on like they are, they're going to lose it. All right. They're going to lose their place. So that happens. So it's a warning. He also gives them credit for not buying into the work of Nicolaitans and how their deeds are and not doing their things and not getting caught up in their things and actually speaking out and hating that. All right. Those things. And then he gives that last part, that warning. And then what the reward is for overcoming. All right. We get that kind of breakdown in each of these seven churches each time. So anyway, in wrapping up, this church in Ephesus was the first age of the church. It was the start of the church, and it represented that. But it also has these messages that are so important to us today. All right. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do, and thank you for the blessing of this message and your word. Lord, let this word penetrate our hearts. Let it change who we are each and every time we read it. And let it change us into forming us into your image, into your ways, into your truths, and to live the way you want us to, and to connect to you the way you want us to. And Lord, I just pray that each and every person listening to this will be blessed not only by the message, but most important, will turn to you in always in repentance and always falling at your feet in worship and then walking with you as you call. Lord, I pray that blessing over every person. Deliver anyone right here, right now, that is struggling with something that is keeping them from you. I pray that deliverance over them by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name and the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray power over each and every one of you that comes only from Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us today, and you have a blessed day. Thank you.